Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the South, where at least 26 people were killed by a tornado in western Mississippi over the weekend. Homes and businesses decimated, and the forecast calls for more dangerous weather across the South today. Correspondent Christian Benavides is in Mississippi.
The Secretary of Homeland Security and FEMA officials toured the damage in Rolling Fork yesterday with the state's governor.
The president has directed us to be here to assist the people of Mississippi.
Volunteers offering food, water, and supplies are also on the ground.
I knew that there was going to be help needed, so I got in and drove here.
The White House says more federal aid could be added as damage assessments continue.
Silicon Valley banks will be open this morning under new ownership. The FDIC says First Citizens is taking on all deposits and loans more than 2 weeks after SVB failed. Senate Banking Committee Chair Mark Warner tells CBS has faced the nation. He'll hold regulators' feet to the fire when they testify tomorrow.
There was literally $42 billion taken out of this bank in 6 hours. That's the equivalent of 25 cents on the dollar. And I'd like to know why some of the venture capitalists spurred this run in the first place.
There is chaos in Israel. Protesters flooding the streets after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fired the country's defense minister for opposing his plan to overhaul the judicial system there. The demonstrations have brought departing flights at Ben-Gurion Airport to a standstill. No one's going anywhere on trains, planes, or public transit across much of Germany. Labor unions are staging a one-day strike, demanding salary hikes that mirror inflation. Officials in Philadelphia say the tap water is safe to drink, at least through tonight, after thousands of gallons of a latex solution leaked into the Delaware River from a chemical plant nearby. Philly's deputy managing director, Mike Carroll.
We are fortunate that during a flyover conducted by the Philadelphia Police Department and the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, they saw no visual evidence of any plumes in the Delaware River.
There's been a run on bottled water. Actor Jonathan Majors was arrested over the weekend after a woman claimed he assaulted her in a car in New York City. WCBS-TV's Jesse Mitchell.
Majors' attorney claims the woman was suffering an emotional crisis and said in a statement Majors is, quote, completely innocent and provably the victim of the altercation, and that the evidence includes video footage from the vehicle where the episode took place.
Majors stars in the new Creed movie. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and now he's back in Scranton.
So I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh,
it's
you know right. What, Jake? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app.
was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Between made you see.
We are the boy.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense for this Monday, March 6th. It's a beautiful day on Lake Wissota, a little new coating of fresh snow. Coming up this morning, we're going to need a little palate cleanser after CPAC. The weekend provided plenty of headlines about right-wing extremists behaving badly. There was the Conservative Political Action Conference with its violent rhetoric, Glenn Grothman breaking his own term limits pledge, conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court keeping a Trump lawyer on a state board related to ethics. Fortunately, Christina Lori has The Uplift, a collection of other stories to give our week a positive start. In our second hour, everyday Wisconsinites getting the job done. While conservative politicians try to accomplish as little as possible, plenty of regular folks are rolling up their sleeves and working to get Wisconsin on a better path. We'll visit with Patrick DePula about how the members of Main Street Alliance are advocating for Wisconsin small businesses. And Dan Barth will explain the Citizens Climate Lobby and how anyone can help advocate for better treatment of our natural resources. And we'll wrap things up with Terry Bell giving us three things to know to start the week. But I mentioned the need for a palate cleanser after all kinds of bad political news. Somebody that can maybe, I don't know, make Washington, D.C. seem indeed palatable. It's almost like you want to be there, but only if Chief Morale Officer and now Up North News Radio White House correspondent Dr. Kristen Lyerly is on the scene, as she is right now in front of the White House, it looks like. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday, Pat.
You're not out there to stage any kind of, you know, coup d'etat or anything like that. You're just there to talk to people.
I am out here with over 600 OBGYNs from all over the country, and we are hitting the hill tomorrow to advocate for really important things like, of course, abortion rights, but also including pregnant and lactating women in medical trials so we have more information. And, oh, I don't know, like Medicare payment. We've got to make sure that Medicare payment keeps up with the cost of healthcare. So there are some really important things that we're talking with our legislators about. And I'm really excited. I get to visit with Glenn Grothman and Mike Gallagher and Ron Johnson's aide.
Not Ron Johnson, Ron Johnson's aide.
Yeah, this is my 13th visit here, and I haven't met Ron Johnson yet, actually.
13th, you're 0 for 13, or I should say Ron Johnson is 0 for 13 on meeting you, which is not a surprise. You know, the guy that broke his term limit pledge said he'd only run for two terms and is running for a third. And you'll talk to Glenn Grothman, and I'm guessing question number one might be something like, hey, you promised you'd only serve 10 years in Congress, and you just announced that you're running for your sixth term. What's that about?
Yeah, that would be a great question.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not expecting you to ask it because you don't want to start a meeting going, hey, you liar, you know, why did you lie? Instead, maybe helping him and others understand the real life consequences of some of their positions and decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very true. And it's hard, actually, to talk with representatives like Representative Grothman, because he has such different ideas about women's health than those of us who provide it and actually live it. So, you know, we're going to do our best to try to get that message across and make sure that he understands what the people of Wisconsin truly want and need. We're out here fighting for you, Wisconsin.
Well, and unlike in years past, if you were to look over your shoulder there, you have allies in that building at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Joe's probably waving to you right now from one of the windows going, I hope she sees me. Hi, Kristen.
Yeah, we're connected. Me and Joe, we got a thing.
Do you? Wait a minute. I've got a photo with me and Joe. I don't know if you do. I mean, it sits behind me here every morning back over here. But, of course, you have to run for Congress to get one of those things, apparently. But, hey, maybe this time. Goodness knows you've got enough VIPs in your photo album out there. You talk to some big, important folks.
Man, it just feels so good to know that the work that I'm doing and the people, the voices that I hear from back home get to be amplified here because of all this work. It just makes it all worthwhile.
Well, especially in somebody, not just in your position by virtue of being a physician or an OBGYN, but somebody who is not, you know, a big city doctor, shall we say, which is nothing against that, but you've been working in rural Minnesota. You've been serving women from rural Wisconsin all this time, and you're able to bring that perspective in as well, because again, you have elected officials from those areas who refuse to represent 50% of the population of their district. And so you're willing to go out there and you know, be their voice.
And we know that people who live in those rural areas are more likely to not have access to the fundamental health care that they need. And I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about whole families, men, children. So that rural voice is that much more important. But it's harder to get people to bring that rural voice to Washington, D.C., and it's harder to get folks here to listen. But I won't take no for an answer, Pat. You know that.
We definitely know that about you, if nothing else. So have a great time out there. I hope it's very productive, and we are definitely looking forward to talking to you once you get back about your impressions and, you know, the points made by other folks there and where you go from here. And we're thankfully you're going to do that with us. We appreciate it so much. Have fun.
Thanks, Pat. Kristen right. Lierley, the White House.
She's always wanted to do that. All right. Take care. Have a great day out there. Dr. Bye. Kristen Lierley, our White House correspondent, I guess we now have here on Up North News Radio. Who knew? But again, she seems to be well-traveled and experienced in its ways. 13 visits to Washington, D.C. on behalf of OBGYNs, and Ron Johnson met with them zero times. Says it all. We have plenty of stories about Republicans behaving badly, unfortunately, over the weekend, and we'll start to tell some of those, plus some uplifting news coming up in a bit on Up North News Radio.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey, Wisconsin, the spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2, V-O-T-E. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 41. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 22 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 44. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday, February 27th. We are almost done with the month of February. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota for about the next 5 minutes. And then winter returns with a bit of a vengeance. There's a winter storm warning out for a large chunk of western, northwestern Wisconsin. We are going to get an update from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky about the winter storm that's getting set to pound western parts of the state this morning. And she will have a weather outlook all across Wisconsin as we get set to start the new week. Hope you had a good weekend. And let's see what else we have coming up on the show today. Let's see. Let's start with bigots gonna bigot. Middle-aged white guy host here on the radio has a few choice words for some other middle-aged white guys who seem to think it's racist when they don't get to be the boss of everything. I think that that's maybe the wrong approach for them to take, and one prominent white guy is finding out the consequences for that. We'll also visit with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and go over some entertainment news. And in our next hour, it's Motherhood Monday. Kate and Nicole of Motherhood for Good will have information on what busy moms should know about April's school board races, some of the buzzwords you're likely to hear, and what they really mean in the context of school board races. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you should know. And we will also have this. It's going to be a busy week. We will be hearing tomorrow from Jim Obergefell. If the name sounds a little familiar, it's because he's the guy on the Supreme Court decision, the Obergefell decision that legalized same-sex marriage in this country in 2015. We had a chance to talk to him last week, and we're playing excerpts from that tomorrow morning. We will talk to one of our Courier Newsroom colleagues in Michigan. Michigan legalized marijuana 4 years ago. Well, Wisconsin is a bit of an outlier among the upper Midwestern states that have done nothing to relax legal restrictions on marijuana. And consequently, the state isn't regulating it and the state isn't taxing it and deriving any of the benefits from that. Again, Michigan did it 4 years ago. So we'll ask them how it's gone. And our guest will talk about any good effects, bad effects, impacts on taxes, on life itself. So look for that. We're also scheduled to talk this week with the group Wisconsin Conservation Voters. I still think of them by their previous name, the League of Conservation Voters. But regardless, this is a group that we frequently hear about before the partisan elections in November, especially about, you know, which state legislators and other state level candidates have positions that are good for our natural resources and the ones that don't. They understand the importance of this spring election. It's a nonpartisan election, but these are still, you know, very important races for school boards, county boards, the state Supreme Court. And so they're making endorsements in these spring races, and we will talk to a representative about that as well. If you'd like to reach the show this morning, the numbers are 844-967-2789 and 715-388-7155. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Let's see. I want to get to a few things here before we get. Oh, we have a question of the week. That's right. There, let me take this one down, put this one up. There we go. Question of the week is going to come courtesy of our discussion with Christina Laurie. And in it, we ask her to give us some of the more uplifting news of the week. And then she has a question for us. What would be the best Girl Scout cookie right now? And if you could create any new flavor of Girl Scout cookie, what would it be? And as we'll hear from Christina a little bit later, it's Girl Scout cookie time. You're going to see some orders being taken as early as this week from Girl Scouts in your area, but you can also go to girlscoutcookies.org if you would like to order them online. It would still benefit Girl Scouts, of course. So consider that and consider what your favorite is and which one you'd create if you had the ability to do that. Let's take a look at sports here at 6:21 now on a Monday. Let's see, the Milwaukee Bucks, good news and bad news. The Bucks winning streak is now 14 games after beating Phoenix on Sunday, 104-101. But not all the news is good. Giannis Antetokounmpo did start on Friday in the Bucks' win against Miami. His wrist was no longer an issue, but he injured his right knee or his quad late in the first quarter, and he did not play on Sunday. So that again, so we're back to day to day for a Bucks team that has been banged up all season. I don't know how often or how rarely the usual five starters have all been on the court together, but the Bucks will be playing again tomorrow at Brooklyn. They will take that 14-game winning streak in against the Nets. The Marquette men's basketball team clinched at least a share of their first Big East regular season title in a decade after beating DePaul on Saturday, 90-84. But as player Tyler Kolick put it, we don't want to share, talking about the Big East title. And that's why they didn't cut down the nets in Milwaukee the other night. They want to wait and try to win the conference outright. Marquette came into the game ranked 10th in the nation. The new rankings will come out later today. Not bad for a team that was picked by all the Big East coaches to finish 9th out of the 11 teams in the conference. But in the conference right now, Marquette is 15 wins, only 3 losses. The Golden Eagles can clinch the championship outright by winning either tomorrow at Butler or on Saturday at home against St. John's. And going into the game tomorrow, the Golden Eagles will have won 9 of their last 10 games. It's a different story for the University of Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team. They still can't get it done for the full 40 minutes. On Sunday in Ann Arbor, they went from a 10-point deficit in the second half to a 3-point lead in the final minute, only to see Michigan tie the game, force overtime, and go on a 10-0 run in the extra period to beat the Badgers 87-79. The Badgers have 2 games left in the regular season, Thursday at home against Purdue and next Sunday at Minnesota. Then comes the Big Ten tournament, which at this point is looking like their only long shot path to the NCAA tournament. We, of course, had the Brewers begin spring training baseball over the weekend. It was nice to be able to hear that. There was some drama with the new Major League Baseball rules that went in force for this spring and for this season. Umpires are enforcing those rules rather aggressively, which is good to get the players used to what the new rules are going to be. And that's what led to the drama with the pitch clock. Picture, if you will, a game with the Boston Red Sox versus Atlanta on Saturday. Atlanta's Cal Conley is up to bat. The bases are loaded. 2 outs. Game on the line. But Conley had stepped out of the batter's box and didn't step back in time for the new pitch clock. The home plate umpire calls an automatic strike. Strike 3. Game over without a pitch being thrown. And that's because, again, the umps are drawing a hard line on calling these violations of these new rules to get pitchers, catchers, and batters used to the new pitch clock. It's designed to stop all the delays have become endless. Batters adjusting their gloves, pitchers staring in endlessly at the catcher, catchers calling time repeatedly to go out to the mound and freeze the batter, and so on. So there's this new pitch clock. Pitchers have 20 seconds to throw the next pitch if there's a runner on base, 15 seconds if the bases are empty. In return, the batter has to be back in the batter's box and set by the time the clock reaches 8 seconds. And there's only 30 seconds between plays. So hopefully we don't run into this, you know, nearly 4-hour game time that seems to have become endemic to Major League Baseball. So what do you think? Do you think it's going to be good for the game? Is it good for the fans and good for TV ratings? Should games not be decided by a clock violation? I know some people have said, look, we should turn off the clock in the ninth inning, you know, when the game is on the line. But as far as I'm concerned, the game is always on the line. The whole point is to score at any given point or stop the other team from scoring. So if you're adopting a rule like a pitch clock, it's either for the good of the game or it's not. You know, football has delay of game calls throughout the whole game. They don't get rid of that late in the game. Basketball games have a shot clock throughout the whole game. And so while we have this first incident of the game ending on a pitch clock violation by the batter, it won't be the last one. It's simply to get us used to what's going to come. Maybe at the end of the season, people will say it was not a good experiment. Maybe other people will say that it's practically saving the game of baseball as it's speeding things up. So we'll certainly, now we know what it's going to look like. And I think batters and pitchers should really consider themselves warned by now. Badger women's hockey, we haven't talked about them. They are in the WCHA quarterfinal series, and they won on Saturday over Minnesota State 4-1, and that takes them to a spot in the WCHA final faceoff, and that will be next Friday in Minneapolis, where the Badgers will take on fourth-ranked Minnesota. So a very busy weekend in sports that way. We will certainly continue to look at what's happening with the Bucks winning streak and other things that are going on around us. A reminder that there are many ways to listen to us, many ways to watch what we do. You can watch Up North News Radio online through Facebook. Go to the Up North News Facebook page or the Facebook page of Bull Falls Radio. Either way, we would love to have you along watching or listening on your favorite Civic Media radio station. You can go to that anytime and go to civicmedia.us. Find the station near you. We're growing all the time. Or you can subscribe as a podcast, either there from the Civic Media website or any place where you get your usual podcasts. We take every hour and we turn that into a podcast episode for you. As far as Up North News, the organization that I work for, which is a separate entity from Civic Media, we cover everything over at upnorthnewswi.com. And you can reach the show by sending an email to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you along every day, however you are able to listen to us. So a reminder that coming up this morning, we are scheduled to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up after our first commercial break here. And then about an hour from now, we'll be talking to Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good. They are going to tell us what parents need to know about school board elections. These school board elections, much like the state Supreme Court race, are as important as ever before because there are candidates for Supreme Court and school board who could frankly continue a lot of work from the wrecking crew that has been in power for far too long in this state and parts of this country. We'll talk more about that throughout the morning. First, let's take a break and welcome in Dr. Lyerly next. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The forecast calls for more dangerous weather in the South on the heels of a powerful tornado that killed at least 26 people in Mississippi. Andre Williams is a city councilman in Rolling Fork.
I was able to grab the top of the tub and pull it down over my head so the rain and the lightning wouldn't strike me. And 5 minutes later, It was over.
Massive protests break out in Israel after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fired the defense minister for opposing his plan to overhaul the court system.
We're here to fight for our democracy, to take down this corrupt government.
We don't need to sleep. We don't need to do anything but speak up our voice.
Officials in Philly say it's safe to drink the water, at least through tonight, despite a chemical spill at a facility in nearby Bucks County. Deputy City Manager Mike Carroll.
What we expect is in a matter of days, the water in the Delaware should be okay.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin. You horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
And for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
We decided to call an audible here. Kristen had been getting the same walk-up music for a couple of weeks here, and we decided she needed something else to boost our spirits for the morning. Dr. Lyerly joins us from an undisclosed location in rural southwestern Minnesota. Oh, wait, I disclosed too much. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so good. Happy Monday.
There we go. You again are out in the hinterlands as we need so badly out there because these rural health facilities are having the damnedest time finding people, Kristen. And I don't want to start on too heavy a note, but since we're introducing what you were up to this weekend, I mean, I sent you an article published in the New York Times last night about the number of rural hospitals that have stopped delivering babies.
Yeah, it is a crisis. In Wisconsin, we've lost half of our rural obstetrical units in the last 20 years, and the forecast doesn't look good. They're not making money. They can't afford staff. The staff's not there. This is bad, Pat.
Yeah, and it's staff too. It's not just OBGYNs, which, I mean, that's a whole different setup in states like Wisconsin with abortion bans. But I mean, just the healthcare profession overall, it's not pretty out there.
No, nurses, it's nurses really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can figure out the doctor thing, we throw things together, but the nurses are really the giant problem. And man, I was really loving some amazing nurses last night at 1 o'clock in the morning when I was delivering a baby. Oh, it feels so good to bring life into the world. I love my job.
We need more of that, because from 2015 to 2019, according to the New York Times here, there were about 90 obstetric unit closures in rural hospitals across the country. And as you said, by 2020, about half of rural community hospitals did not provide obstetrics care. And we already know that women in rural areas face a higher risk of pregnancy-related complications. Then those living in so-called maternity care deserts are three times as likely to die during pregnancy or the critical year afterward. And then I think we were just reestablishing our internet. We were just establishing our internet connection once again here. Are you hearing me all right, Kristen?
Yeah, it's not just hospitals. It's broadband too, Pat.
Yeah, it's also well, you know what? We're talking about that tomorrow with Hans Breitenmoser. It'll be our first visit with him since Governor Evers' budget address. And we're going to talk about all the things in the state budget that impact rural Wisconsin. And yeah, broadband's among them.
And you said, and I just want to say exactly what you said a minute ago, women who live in these maternity care deserts, and we have them all across the upper Midwest, are three times more likely to die related to their pregnancy because of where they live.
And it shouldn't be that way. Again, in the United States, depending on, you know, your health shouldn't depend on your zip code. And your health also shouldn't depend on which party is controlling the politics in your state. You know, that's not right. And all Americans deserve to have, you know, good access to infrastructure and healthcare. And even if they don't have it at the moment, they deserve public leaders who are willing to try to fight for that, to try to provide the right resources to their area. But really, it comes down to, do we treat all Americans equally? And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we're going to have an interview that you and I and Kirk Bankstead did last week with Jim Obergefell, of the Obergefell v. Hodges decision that legalized same-sex marriage, where, again, we heard from a gentleman who all he wanted was, before his partner died of a terminal illness, was for them to be able to marry and have their relationship recognized and respected. And that is not too much to ask.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and it's not just that. Can I just do a quick preview for Hometown Health? Because we are going to be talking about the period tax. So in Wisconsin, in 22 states, actually, menstrual products are taxed. And that's a tax against women. So when I have my period, I am paying the state of Wisconsin just because I'm a woman. And that's unfair. So this is another disparity that we really need to resolve. And it's easy to resolve when you've got the right leaders in the right places.
And it's not just periods. The so-called pink tax for all kinds of products that are marketed toward women, you know, maybe deodorant or razor blades or whatever, oftentimes the same product, you know, but just packaged differently, costs more for women than it does for men. It's kind of insane.
Yeah. We're used to it, but, you know, we're persistent, so we're just going to keep up the good fight.
Okay. I said we were going to do a little entertainment news update as well. Now, I didn't watch the SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild. I'm willing to bet you didn't. I'm also willing to bet pretty much very few people did outside the industry, because it wasn't on TV. It was streamed. It was streamed over a YouTube channel. But the reason we bring it up is that the SAG Awards oftentimes correspond to the Academy Awards. Last year, they corresponded exactly. Every SAG Award winner won the Oscar. So I was just pulling up, you know, what they had yesterday or last night. And again, it's about the movie Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Have you seen it?
No, have you?
Oh, yes. My kids love it. They raved about it. And then I watched it. It's very unusual, but it's very interesting.
This is definitely, I get the impression, a love it or hate it movie, because I've also heard from movie critics who their review was along the lines of, what the hell is this? It was just there's so much thrown at you, and it's, you know, again, either it's a terrific or a jumbled mess, depending on your point of view, I guess, and how.
Yeah,
you
and there
it.
Are some. There are some moments in there that I was doing a little head scratching that my kids thought were hilarious, and I won't mention what they are. Watch it for yourself. You'll know. But yeah, it's a lot, but the acting is fantastic. The production, it's just a real quality film.
Well, obviously now we have time to watch it before the Academy Awards. I don't know how long that is. God knows there's been enough Oscars promos out there with Jimmy Kimmel. You'd think I'd remember the date at this point.
March 10th, maybe?
I don't know. So we'll find out. Also over the weekend, the NAACP Image Awards, Angela Bassett won for Entertainer of the Year. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever won for Best Motion Picture. Viola Davis won Outstanding Actress for the action epic The Woman King. And Will Smith won for the slavery drama Emancipation. So there's a little...
Really?
Yeah. Did you see Emancipation? Or is that...
I hated Emancipation.
Okay.
Sorry to be so bold.
No, that's... We reward boldness here. With, you know, if it's a... If it's an informed opinion. Now, if you said, it's garbage just because it's Will Smith. I mean, while we'd understand, that's not nearly as valid as you watched the movie and did not like it.
I watched the movie and did not like it. It just missed the mark. Like, I love that era and I love that information. I think it's so important. And I wanted to love that movie. And it was just not there.
Not there?
Not there for me.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
March 12th. March 12th
on the Oscars. Okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you so much. It was a sister's weekend out here, and not my sister's, but my wife and her sister's get together here every year, and so I have to go to husband daycare or the husband kennel, whatever it is, also known as my mom's place. But before I go, I always have to, you know, prepare one of the meals for them, and this year it was a lasagna, and I'm not going to lie, Kristen. I make a really good lasagna. I'm telling you. Next time.
I'm feeling very Monday right now. Very Garfield and lasagna. And
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. And I don't have it. I didn't take it with me. But speaking of Garfield, my mom is she like I think a lot of our parents, they have a lot of stuff that's been in their home, or in her case, townhome, for a very long time. And my mom does not use coffee mugs. She likes something that's more like Starbucks-y or something a little taller and skinnier. So I like coffee mugs, but there weren't any right in the front of the cupboard. But I could see way in the back. I could dig around. I had to pull a bunch of other glasses out just to get to them. And I kind of wish I'd have brought it if I'd have known we were going to be talking about Garfield. From 1980, a McDonald's giveaway was a glass coffee mug with a Garfield cartoon on it, with Garfield and Odie and everybody else on there. Back when, for Happy Meals, you got like real toys. You got like real prizes, not these little things you can practically choke on these days. But
I remember the Smurf glasses at Hardee's. Mm-hmm. Oh, those were the best.
It blows young people away, my kids especially, when I show them what Happy Meal toys and other things like that used to look like. I mean, full-size toys. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time. Now, it was actually one of the, when Samantha, our oldest one, was a baby, was when the first Happy Meal came out, and it was like some Muppet Baby, you know, plush toys. And so we got one of them, and, you know, she played with it. Actually, there's nothing left of the eyeball, because when she was teething, you know, the eyeball made a good thing to chew on. So there's no pupil left in there. So Kermit looks a little demented, but I showed that, you know, to her many years later, and she was rather blown away that's what they used to do once upon a time. So it's like Tonka toys. When we were growing up, mm-hmm. you know, Tonka toys were these great big trucks made out of steel. I mean, you were going to get a concussion or tetanus if something went wrong with it. And then they became smaller and, you know, more plasticky and things. I see they're bringing some of the big ones back. In fact, to the point that my grandson, who's three, and his little sister, who's about 10 months old, we saw a video on Snapchat this weekend of him pushing her on one of these big toys, which I thought was quite a moment of trust for my younger daughter, for letting the 3-year-old push the nearly 1-year-old on in a toy all by himself. There was no concussion, which was fine. But I told her, maybe a helmet wouldn't be a bad idea. And then put a GoPro on the helmet. So at least we get some get some entertainment out of this thing, you know?
That's so cute. What a neat little moment for them.
Oh,
and how practical.
Yes, very much so. And it's where I'm really thankful for things like Snapchat, you know, and Facebook Messenger and all those things. I mean, we get all these videos and photos now of grandkids and nieces and nephews and, you know, even the ones that you know, we send. Like, for example, being at with my mom over the weekend, she loves to play games. And so she loves Scrabble. But she doesn't just have a Scrabble game. She has what's called Super Scrabble. It is a much larger board, many more tiles. You cannot play that game in under 3 hours. It is a long Scrabble game. But we played that, and I won that, and I won 2 rounds of Rummy Cube. But the game that means the most to her, and you know I've talked about how much Sherry and I play cribbage all the time. And, of course, she's the one who taught me. So when she kicked my butt in cribbage, you know, on Saturday night, that was a big, big victory for her. And of course, through Snapchat, I got to share that with, you know, the whole extended family. And they were, you know, raving at Grandma Joni's big success as a card player. So it's all those ways that we get to be together. Look at you. You get to be on a radio show when you're hundreds of miles away from where you normally are.
Isn't it nice? Although I'm not going to lie, I would love to be sleeping right now. Where we all?
Well, especially if you're delivering babies at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm rather familiar with that. But you know, all in all, I think it worked out to be a good sister's weekend, a good weekend for, you know, wayward husbands and for doc, and for docs who are serving in other areas. I think that's awfully nice of you. You know what? You can get in on our early look at the question of the week here, because we're going to play the uplift with Christina Lori a little later on. And she talks about how it's Girl Scout cookie time. And she asks, if you could create any new flavor of Girl Scout cookie, which would it be? And then I added to it, you know, as a lead in, what is the best Girl Scout cookie right now? And to me, it's those coconut ones. They're either Caramel Delights, but they used to be called Samoas. We'll ask Christina about the names on there. I mean, come on. I can eat an entire sleeve of those. Are you more of a Thin Mint person, or where are you?
I love the Caramel Delights as well, and Thin Mints would be a second. But honestly, whatever Girl Scout cookie I can stuff into my mouth, I'm going to eat. I love them all.
Good. if you could create a flavor that doesn't exist right now, what would you do?
Oh, that's one of those things that now I'm going to be thinking about that all day, because I can't give you a reflexive answer there.
Well, here's one that I'd been thinking about it over the weekend. I didn't have a great answer the first time Christina asked me about this, but how about French toast? A French toast Girl Scout cookie. You know, got a little hint of cinnamon, little maple syrupy flavor in there. Could go with that.
For our radio listeners, if you could see the satisfied look on Pat's face right now as he's pondering French toast Girl Scout cookies.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be thinking about this some more. Let's do some let's do a music break and do this day in history coming up next. You're up north.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 41. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows level off around 22. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 44. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
It's party time! Get up!
Number one song this day in 1961 was Pony Time by Chubby Checker, and was the number one song for 5 weeks. I try to plug into songs from before I was born. I got to tell you, Pony Time was not in my, not on my playlist here.
I have never heard of Pony Time ever.
No, nope. Same.
But
here.
I have heard of Chubby Checker.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. You know it. Let's do the twist. It's Monday.
And I think he made the charts two or three times with the twist. And then of course the peppermint twist, which was not exactly a subtle, you know, re-rack of the twist, but hey,
a sequel,
whatever works, baby. On this day in 1960, on American Bandstand, the Miracles made their first TV appearance, you know, by Smokey Robinson and friends. On this day in 1971, Pearl by Janis Joplin started its nine-week run as the number one album in the U.S., but she did not get to see that, having died of a heroin overdose 3 months before the album was released. On this day in 1980, Michael Jackson won his first Grammy for Best R&B Performance. That, of course, would be Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, which we'll let play underneath while we tell you that Neil Schon is 69 today. After spending time as a guitarist in Santana, he went on to found the bands Bad English and Journey. Josh Groban is 42. Where are you on Josh Groban, Kristen?
I think he's funny. I'm not a giant fan of his music, but I appreciate his talent.
There you go. Okay. History notes on this day in 1844, the Dominican Republic gained its independence from Haiti. And in 1922, on this day, a challenge to the 19th Amendment allowing women the right to vote is rebuffed by the Supreme Court. In the case, it says here, of Lesser v. Garnett, I believe it was Lesser and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty versus Garnett. But I could be wrong, but it's possible that Will was part of a challenge to allowing women to vote. We'll see. I'll check the records to be sure.
These themes.
We have played Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You multiple times already, but she's on the mark here again. So instead, we're going to play the song that she deposed as in the record books. Whitney Houston on this day in 1993 broke the record for the longest run at number one on the singles chart. 14 straight weeks at number one. Oh, it's not that she bumped off a record. Her record was eclipsed 2 years later by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men with this one. And that, of course, would be One Sweet Day. So that was 1995 when that broke Whitney Houston's record for longest number one run on the charts. And finally, Leonard Nimoy. Mr. Spock from the Star Trek series passed away on this day in 2015 at the age of 83. He was also a musical artist. Kristen, you may not know this. He released music both as himself and as Mr. Spock and saw some modest success on the charts. One of Aaron's favorites is The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
Charles is a brave little hobbit whom we all admire with his long wooden pipe. Fuzzy woolly toes. He lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo. Bilbo.
Wow. Baggins, okay.
I love it.
Aaron says it's a favorite.
It's cheerful.
It's something.
In that like weird cheerful kind of way.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. Well, that was a little fun music and history break here. But let's take these next 5 minutes, because we haven't been able to talk about it yet. So I'm just going to have you join in with me on this. And we're going to talk about Dilbert creator Scott Adams and the racist rant that he went on to, which is why you're not going to see Dilbert in newspapers anymore. And I think to get into it, I'll just share my social media post about it, about Scott Adams, you know, whining about losing all of his, syndication for his strips because he went on such a racist rant. And what I said to folks was, you know, racists don't normally introduce themselves as racists. There's usually no formal announcement. They deny it. They reject it and they lash out. But it's their words and their deeds that reveal that they were not mislabeled. They did, in fact, introduce themselves. And interestingly enough, they introduced themselves through a phrase they like to contort, through the content of their character. And that's exactly what Scott Adams showed in words that are just so ugly. I am very hesitant to share them, other than saying he called, Black Americans a hate group and said white people should, quote, get the hell away from them, and on he goes. And for those folks that would say this is, some violation of the First Amendment, no, it's not. There's no government infringing on his freedom of speech. In fact, he's showing exactly how people can exercise freedom of speech. And he's learning that freedoms can be exercised, but they also can have consequences. You have the right to speak, but you also have the personal discretion to keep something to yourself. You know, it's not just people under arrest who have the right to remain silent. We can all choose not to overshare. And Kristen, here's a clip from comedian Ron White that sums it all up. And in his case, after he'd had a few drinks.
At that point, I had the right to remain silent, but I didn't have the ability.
And that is Kristen, where we find Scott Adams. In the internet age, you feel like you can share anything and there will always be somebody to agree with you. But he's also finding out that, you get ugly enough and enough people don't agree with you, there are consequences.
Hey, I haven't seen the YouTube video, but this just doesn't make any sense at all to me. I mean, you're exactly right. Why? I don't understand why people feel that they need to put this ugliness out in the world.
No, look, for him, this is the ultimate case of, and you and I, we've been here a million times, somebody saying those words to you, I'm not a racist, but, and then they go on to say something that doesn't reflect well on the way that they opened it up. And it makes for some very awkward moments, shall we say, in these conversations. But again, you can spout off any way that you like to. And Scott Adams is not the first white guy I've seen who, as he advances past middle age and closes in on being a cranky old man, takes views that are more and more extreme. And Scott Adams has had extreme views for quite some time. He has really morphed into something so unlike what he appeared to be when he first came on the scene. And we've seen this in individuals, Kristen, you and I both have, and it's unfortunate, but at some point you either need to call it out or, just let that person go from your life.
Well, and I think that we need to see more calling it out. I think publicly, and I'm not talking about shaming or attacking, but just shining a light on some of these things that people are putting out there that are misinformation, fear-mongering, just all of that ugliness. Those of us who stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore, that's how we build that community and that momentum to fight back against it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Kristen. I appreciate that so much. We're going to take a break for news. And again, a reminder that in our next hour, Motherhood Monday, the folks from Motherhood for Good will come talk about the importance of school board elections. I know Kristen has been telling me about the importance of them as well. And so we'll underscore that very much coming up in the next hour here on Up North News Radio for a Monday.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.